Mike and Trisha Mornings Podcast. Real, live, local.
So all over Facebook today, people are talking about how few Halloween trick-or-treaters they have. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, some people were like, I got like three and I got, you know, none and whatever. And we had a lot of kids. We had a pretty decent amount of kids. We gave away a lot of candy.
I think it just depends on the neighborhood and the population density.
Yeah.
You know, because everything's moving east.
Right.
And so I think that has a lot to do with why some people aren't getting any trick-or-treaters anymore.
Yeah. I was really surprised. But I guess more and more people are doing, like, house parties.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of, more and more, a lot of businesses are having these.
Oh, that's
true. You
know,
then the city has their stuff that they do at the rec centers. All of the malls practically.
Yeah.
You know, do that safe trick-or-treating. So there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And it's, frankly, a whole lot safer than going out at night.
I agree.
Especially when Halloween falls during the week.
On a Tuesday. You know, and it was funny because I was talking about this yesterday with a friend of mine. And I was like, you know, back in the day, I guess it always felt like Halloween fell on like a Friday or Saturday. Mm. It never really, I mean, I know it didn't. I know it fell, you know, on weekdays. But it just always felt like it was, you know, a bigger deal for the kids.
But you choose to remember the weekend Halloween.
The weekend Halloweens, yeah.
See, and that's another thing, too, is when it does fall like on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you tend to do a lot of celebrating the weekend before.
Right, right. Well, especially the adults.
Yeah.
Especially the adults. And it was funny because one of the neighbors was bringing his kids around, and I said, what did you guys do over the weekend? Did you do anything, you know, special, you know, for Halloween for like just you guys? And he goes, oh my God. He goes, Friday and Saturday, we partied like crazy people. We left the kids with mom and dad. We did the whole partying thing.
Yeah.
Went on Saturday morning and had menudo to get ready for, you know, for the Saturday night partying.
Right.
And I was like, I'm surprised you're standing. He goes, I'm surprised I'm standing too. I was like, but see, that's the other thing. Because when it falls on a weekend, it's tough for the adults because they want to party.
Right.
And then the kids, of course, want to go out, you know, too. They want to go do something and get candy too.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, so maybe it is better that it falls on the weekday.
I was okay with not having trick-or-treaters.
Dude, you hide away in the back part of the house. How would you have known if there were trick-or-treaters or not?
I do. And I was okay with that. Well, because they ring your doorbell.
Turn off the lights.
Yeah, we did.
And even then they ring the doorbell?
Sometimes.
Oh,
some
wow.
Years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But especially yesterday, you know, because it was a long day for the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
They made us go to the Halloween parade.
I know.
Because they have no idea that we get up at 2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure they do. They just don't care. Right? So I didn't take my nap as usual, and I was already out of it because of the long driving that I did this weekend.
Right.
And so yesterday, I went to bed at 6:30, and I was just hoping that nobody came and rang the doorbell.
And did they?
No.
Oh, good.
No. Our neighborhood is one of those neighborhoods. It's an older neighborhood.
Right.
Very few people in our neighborhood have children.
Yeah.
And so there's very little inter-neighborhood trick-or-treating.
Oh, okay.
And this year, the Wattis white vans didn't show up. Mostly because, you know, there's very little of that going on.
Right.
And there are very few houses that trick themselves out. On my neighborhood, there might be one or two that might have, you know, lights or decorations of some sort.
Right.
And so they probably crossed us off the list a couple of years
ago. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, in my neighborhood, the neighborhood got kind of old for about, you know, for about 5-6 years. And then it seems like all of a sudden people that grew up there, like me, I mean, I've been in my house for almost 20 years, but it seems like people who are like my age and who grew up in the neighborhood and everything, mm-hmm. they're starting to buy houses there again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that we've got more kids. There were a lot of people on the street yesterday. A lot. I was really surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Or they have grandchildren.
Or they have grandchildren, stuff like that.
Or their parents die and they get
the
house.
They take the house, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, so it's starting to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah.
Even the little elementary school in the neighborhood, the Sierra Vista Elementary, uh-huh. It's kind of gotten a resurgence.
Right.
For a while, we kept thinking, oh, no, they're going to close it down because
uh-huh.
the population dropped.
Hey, so is this your way of telling me that you didn't bring me any leftover candy?
What leftover candy?
Oh, dude.
I didn't even get any candy.
I told you to save me the chocolates.
I know. I didn't get any candy.
I said, save me the chocolates and save me the gummies, and I'm cool with Sour Patch Kids and none of that, huh? None of that?
First of all, I don't give out Sour Patch Kids, and I don't give out gummies. I give out fun-size Snickers and Milky Ways.
Yeah.
I give out good candy.
Yeah, well, Richie Rich or not, Patricia? No. Did you bring me candy or not?
No, I didn't even get candy. I didn't even get candy, and I was the one giving it out. And I even bought a lot, thinking I'll bring some leftovers.
Yeah.
For the class.
Well, girlfriend, they filled up the vending machine yesterday. You best waddle your way over there and get me some.
Forget it. I get you coffee on Friday. You go get me candy.
You owe me a Friday.
Whatever.
Mike and Joe. Kiss FM. Today is Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
November 1.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd point that out.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's on the calendar. A lot of us don't read calendars any longer.
Oh, I know, huh?
A lot of us don't check that kind of stuff, so I thought I would point that out. After Halloween, it's Dia de los Muertos.
But then a lot of us have Facebook, and it's all over the place.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of cartoons. There's a Dia de los Muertos cartoon that's a movie that's coming out.
I know. I saw that.
I want to see that.
I saw that.
I think that's going to look really. It looks really good.
It does.
Yeah.
It's the first time that Disney has ever done a nod.
Yeah.
To that type of culture.
Right. Right. I think it's going to be super good. And apparently they did a lot of research about it, like years of research, and like. You know, had all kinds of focus groups and all kinds of this and that and the other.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to make sure that everything was perfect.
You know, I'm not very familiar with Dia de los Muertos. Like, what's it all about?
Dia de los Muertos is where you go to the cemetery and you honor your dead family members by giving them, their favorite meals, their favorite treats, their favorite drinks. It's a celebration. It's because you know what? When you lose somebody, you're focused more on the loss, you know. And so Dia de los Muertos gives you a chance to celebrate their life instead of mourn their death.
Ah.
And so it's very festive, very colorful, very bright, very, yes, we miss them, but, you know, think of all the fun times we had and how wonderful they were and, you know, how much we love them. It's just a celebration. So an ancestral celebration.
It's Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. Who says radio can't be that educational, huh? Who says that? Not us. KISS
FM. Here's what's trending now.
All right, let's start with City Council taking no action on that petition that would let voters decide the fate of Duranguito.
Right. Okay, so the activists got this petition together. They put it before City Council. City Council talked about it, but then yesterday, and they talked about it, by the way, in executive session.
Right.
Another huge mistake.
Yeah.
Talk about it out there on the dais, you guys.
I would think.
This is a hugely contentious issue. Get your butts in front of the public. So they didn't, but they came out of executive session and they said, look, unfortunately, under Texas law, petitions involving zoning are not legally permissible. As a matter of fact, years ago, there was a case in San Antonio where a zoning voter initiative was placed on the ballot after a similar kind of petition, like the Duranguito one, was circulated. Now, in later court hearings and later litigation, the court said that it was an invalid vote that had gone before the voters because voters don't get to choose zoning laws.
Yeah, yeah. So even if they were to say, yeah, let's do that, it would probably be invalidated as well.
Yeah, and then you would have more court problems and more court costs and all that other stuff.
Right. One of the TV stations, I believe it was ABC7, yeah. They spoke to somebody there with the is it Pueblo del Sur?
I think so, yeah.
Right? That's the Paso del Sur. All right, and here's what she had to say about council not taking any action.
The voters who voted in favor of a multi-purpose performing arts facility did not vote to demolish Duranguito. It's very disheartening to see this lack of leadership within the city council to take a stand and align with what is right. We have no plans of going anywhere until we see a historical designation as it should be, as it is for the surrounding Southside neighborhood.
Yeah, so let me interpret that. Never end the story. Exactly what that means. Yeah, boy, we haven't heard the last of this.
And by the way, no, we didn't vote to tear down Duranguito. We also didn't vote not to. So just throwing that out there.
Here's what's trending now.
Country music star Blake Shelton is performing in Las Cruces. Ooh, have you heard about that?
I have.
Yes, one of the coaches on The Voice. And the guy who kicked Miranda Lambert to the curb,
yep,
and is now currently with Gwen Stefani.
Right, right.
He's going to be in Las Cruces Saturday, February the 17th at the Pan Am Center. Tickets are going to go on sale November the 10th. That's a Friday.
And one of his special guests is Trace Atkins. Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Also trending this morning is Wendy Williams. Oh,
oh
my
dude.
Gosh, have you seen the video? If you
so
haven't,
scary.
Go to kisselpaso.com and check it out. Wendy Williams in full costume as the Statue of Liberty, overheated on live television and passed out.
It's time for our How You Doing Halloween costume contest. We do it every year. It's always a lot of fun. Let's get started. Our first caress.
I cannot imagine why somebody did not get her the minute she started stumbling.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The second she started stumbling.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes you never know. Like, you know, when you see somebody up there and they're a performer, you don't know if maybe they're trying to pull something off or do a joke or something like that.
I don't know.
The second she hit the floor, though, you saw everybody rush over.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, they were fully aware that that was not any kind of stunt.
Right.
And when they came back from commercials, well, Wendy Williams said, she said as much.
That was not a stunt. I'm overheated in my costume and I did pass out. But you know what? I'm a champ and I'm back.
And finally, last night, the Dodgers beat the Astros. They have evened the World Series at 3. Mm-hmm. That means whoever wins tonight's game is the World Series
takes
champion.
And Houston, if they win it tonight, this will be... They've played in the World Series before.
Yeah, I think it was like 2005.
Yeah, but they've never won a World Series.
Right.
They've been around for 54 years or so, and they've never won a World Series.
And the last time they were in the World Series, they were swept 4 games to nothing, which is why when they won their first game, it was their first World Series win ever.
Right.
World Series game win,
yeah,
not the series itself.
This will be huge.
And the Dodgers haven't won since the late 80s, I believe.
Yeah, I really do hope Houston wins, not just because they're in Texas, but because I just think it would be such a boost for the city.
Right,
you know?
Right. I hope they win because they are from Texas and because it's one of the few major league games that I've seen in person is a Houston Astros game several years ago because my buddy that lives in Houston is a ticket holder. And by the way, can I tell you this?
Okay, tell me.
For Saturday's game, dude made a few thousand dollars off
I'm
his
sure.
tickets.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Tickets cost him $500 for a pair. He made a few thousand off of them.
Good for him.
I know, right?
Good for him.
I know. So, yeah, I'm hoping that that the Astros do pull this off. And I'm hoping for another home run derby, man.
Oh, I know. I think everybody is.
It's Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. That's what's trending now.
KISS FM.
Happy day after Halloween. If your child is suffering from a post-Halloween sugar high, Mike and Tricia want you to know that there is help available.
If your child is suffering from a prolonged Halloween candy sugar high, you'll be glad to know there's help at the Halloween Candy Detox Center.
I can fly!
Once your child is admitted, our trained medical staff will start them on a pure chocolate IV drip to help bring them down gradually. Next, they'll be administered prescription Butterfingers, and for more serious cases, an injection of liquid Skittles.
I can walk through walls!
Finally, we'll follow up with outpatient treatment, including classes such as AA, Almond Joy Anonymous. While there is no cure for Halloween candy addiction, we can help your child manage this serious illness at the Halloween Candy Detox Center, where we really wish we had fewer things made of glass.
You know, sadly, not every child had the luxury of a sugar high.
Oh.
But there is something you can do for them.
You've seen them on the streets, crying, begging for help, struggling to survive. After losing everything to a catastrophic event, it often feels there's nowhere to turn, no way to regain what was taken in the blink of an eye. Maybe you thought to yourself, one day I'll help. But the children who woke up and found their Halloween candy was eaten by their parents don't have until the 12th of never. They need your help now. For just pennies a day, you can help replenish the candy that mysteriously disappeared during the night. Each month you'll receive a picture of your child holding a miniature Snickers or Butterfinger, slowly putting the broken pieces of their Halloween back together, while their parents waddle around the house in search of stretch pants and Rolaids. For more information, call 1-800. I walked around all night wearing a stupid costume for nothing. Operators are standing by.
We're speaking to Annie Anonymous, the homeowner, Ghost Hunt My Home. Hello, Annie.
Good morning.
Hey, Annie. So, first of all, what does it feel like to know that your home isn't haunted?
Well, it's some comfort, but I'm still getting used to the idea that it's not really the house.
Yeah, that had to have been pretty shocking to hear about your daughter.
Yeah, you know, with everything we had experienced there, I mean, I didn't really need confirmation that there was something there. I mean, we were pretty certain something was there, but it really caught me off guard that it was mostly my daughter that was attracting these.
Yeah, yeah, that's got to be quite a surprise, you know. I mean, you know something's there, you just didn't know the reason why something was there. The good thing is, though, that according to Dolores, she's not attracting, your daughter is not attracting, you know, like
scary things,
malevolent ghostesses.
Yeah, for sure. That is comforting. And, you know, one thing my husband and I always said was that, you know, when people would ask us, you know, why haven't you moved? And we always really felt it, that it was like, well, we've never really been scared, like really scared, like, oh, that's it, we got to pack and leave, you know. It never seemed like it was going to harm us.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I remember.
I guess that makes it just seem sense.
I remember when we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, when you talked about how you, one time you had been locked out and deadbolted.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God. And you're like, well, it wasn't like it was mean in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then you had a few other experiences that you didn't tell us about initially that also dealt with a little girl.
Yes. So some time ago, my daughter was already asleep and my husband and I were watching TV, and we keep my daughter's bicycle in the formal living room, and she has a little bell on it. And we heard the bell ding. And so we turned to look. I thought, well, maybe my daughter got up. But I went to go check. She wasn't in the living room. And I went to go check her room. She was in her room. And so my husband and I joked, oh, you know, maybe it's a little ghost kid or something playing with the bike. And it has a little lever on it that you, I mean, it takes some force with your thumb to push it.
Yeah.
So there's only three of you guys in the house.
Right.
Yeah, only three of us, yeah.
And then you also mentioned that just like you, when you thought, because I remember you told us how you thought that your little girl was playing hide-and-seek with you and trying to scare you, and it turned out that she was in her bedroom the whole time. You also mentioned that to Alan and Dolores that the same thing kind of happened with your, was it your mother or your mother-in-law?
My mother-in-law. She was taking care of my daughter after school one day, and she was helping clean the house, and so she was going from room to room. And so when she was going to walk into my room, she said, you know, I was getting ready to walk into your room, and I clearly thought I saw, you know, your daughter duck down on the other side of the bed. And so I went over to the other side of the bed and thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to scare her. And then she wasn't there, so you know, she freaked out a little bit, so she went to the living room, and my daughter was on the couch, you know, watching TV, and so she was like, oh, no.
Oh, man.
Okay, so now, Annie, you have this knowledge. Now you know that your daughter is a beam of light. She's an empath. She attracts good ghostesses. What are you going to do with that kind of information?
You know, I actually started reading about it online yesterday, and now knowing, you know, what she's been going through, and you know that I've kind of been dismissing it just because I didn't want to believe it, I feel really bad. But from this point forward, you know, whenever she brings things up, you know, Dolores told me, you know, make sure you allow her to talk about it. That way, she feels like she can come to you with it. And she said, especially since you have that too, she said, you know, it can even be a bonding thing that you can share.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's not going to be like from one day to another, like, oh, yay, I'm okay with this, but.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, but
it
you don't.
It is a lot to take in.
You don't want to make her feel like she's some kind of a freak or something, you know?
No, yeah, for sure.
That's got to be some heavy knowledge to have.
Yeah. So okay, so you said that you're not gonna tell your daughter right now. Are you at some point gonna tell her?
Yeah, you know, after Dolores left and I brought my daughter home, I wasn't quite ready, but I really wanted to do what Dolores asked us to do. So, you know, I did ask her to participate with me. You know, I said, you know, what do you have a favorite prayer? You know, let's pray. And I mean, she had like, my daughter had like 1,001 questions for when she got home. She was so inquisitive, like, okay, stop grilling me. So she kept asking, like, well, why are we praying and why do we have this white candle on? And so I gave her a little bit, but I wasn't quite ready that night, especially because it was kind of late and she had to go to school the next day. Mm-hmm. But I really do want her to meet Dolores because I, you know, Dolores told me, you know, if you can't find the right words to use with your daughter, then, you know, I can certainly help you with that. I've helped other kids with that. And so I think I'm going to need help with that because for me, it's my instant reaction has always been just push it away, push it away. That's what I had to do when I was little because I didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
And so I just kept pushing it away. But I don't want to do that.
Well,
I
don't think you should feel like a bad mother because, I mean, you're just doing what any parent would do, and that's trying to protect your daughter.
Yeah. And since you yourself had experiences too, you probably are seeing it through your child's eyes. Like when you were a child, you're like, man, this was hard for me to deal with, so I'm going to keep it from my daughter so she doesn't have to deal with it.
Right, right. I thought I was helping her by trying to just keep it away.
Right.
Yeah, but if I learned anything from watching The Sixth Sense repeatedly, they do need somebody to talk to, man.
You know, it's not a documentary, by the way.
It's not?
Not a documentary.
But Bruce Willis is in it. Oh, and hey, one more question, Annie. So when we were talking to Alan, he talked about how you and he saw these shadows.
Yes.
Did he ever explain, or did either one of them ever explain about the ghost shadows that you had been seeing?
Well, when I mentioned it to Dolores, I think because I had told her, I see like these short shadows. And she said, yeah, they're like, when she was trying to explain how they're like innocent, you know, sometimes they're kids. She's like, that's why maybe they're like short shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the very end, I asked her, you know what? I see like these like short shadows. I said, are there pets, like pet spirits here? And she kind of, you know, laughed and smiled. I told her because I actually felt what seemed like a cat jump on the bed and then start walking towards me when I was, you know, in bed already. And she said, yeah. She said, actually, there is something here. She said, I wasn't going to bring it up because it's a cat, and cats are very good for your home. It's actually, like, really good that that cat is here. And I said, oh, okay, because I thought I was imagining, and I was thinking, okay, I'm just going crazy at this point. How can there be a ghost cat here? But she said, yeah, it's a cat, and it just feels very protective and very good. And I said, well, my husband had a cat for 16 years. Perhaps it's that cat.
Yeah.
But, you know, she says, yeah, it's mostly like very innocent, you know, souls that are coming through. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like little kids and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So all in all then, Annie, were you happy with having your home ghost hunted?
Yeah, I really was because I think it really opens a new chapter in our lives, to hopefully, you know, make her feel better about her ability and help her in a way that she feels like she can count on somebody to be there for her.
Nice.
Right. Good. Good. Well, well, I'm glad that, first of all, we didn't find out that your home was haunted per se, like in the in the sense of the word that a lot of us feel haunting is. And I'm glad that, you know, this will bring you and your daughter a whole lot closer because, according to Dolores, both of you have the magic powers, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and I did want to mention one last thing, unrelated, but I know you were talking about that Charlie Puth song.
Yes.
About the turtle.
Yes.
So my daughter actually had made up her own words to it, but what she says is throwing that turtle on my knee.
Yeah.
On my knee.
Oh, on my knee.
Yeah.
See, that makes a whole lot more sense than throwing a turtle at his name.
That's true. That's yes. Right. Yeah. Turtle yes. On the knee. Okay.
I will borrow yes. your daughter's rendition, and I will ruin it for people in that manner.
Yeah, and you know what? Now that we sing it in the car, we sing it the way she says it.
Well, good. I'm glad you two are also becoming song ruiners.
Right? Yeah, she got that from her dad.
Annie, thank you so much for letting us Ghost Hunt Your Home, and thank you so much for letting us follow up with you this morning. God bless you, and please do, you know, reach out every now and then and let us know how things are going.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Annie. For listening.
You've been listening to Mike and Tricia Mornings. For more, visit kisselpaso.com or download the 93.1 KISS FM app for free to your iPhone or Android.